At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Behold the ancient styles of Kung Fu. Monkey. Crane. Mantis. Viper. Tiger. Panda. I said, Panda.
I'm coming!
Stairs.
From DreamWorks.
Tai Lung has broken out of prison.
Our only hope is the Dragon Warrior.
The Panda.
We're dead.
Jack Black.
What are you gonna do? Sit on me?
Don't tempt me.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda.
Skadoosh.
Hello and welcome to episode 44 of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host here, Jonah Mike, and joining me is JT. Hello.
How you doing?
I'd be doing better after this episode. Oh my god. Today we're going to be learning how to be Kung Fu fighting pandas. Oh my god.
I already looked the part. Oh, it's not going to be that bad, Mike.
Oh god. So really quickly, what have you been up to?
Work and getting back.
Painting your back and painting your nails. And
I was painting a patio for the listeners, okay? Well, not for the listeners, sure. So the listeners know. No, just working on some of my writing and still trying to figure out if and when I can get anybody to come on another episode of the Authentic Geek podcast so I can actually get that going and not take a year off like the lunchroom. Everyone has their reasons.
Yeah. And for me, a couple weeks ago, we finished Batman Week. Oh my god, was that a nightmare? That nearly killed me.
No, dude, that when we did that All Things Batman, when I stood up afterwards, it was like Rusty Drawbridge. Just ow, ow, ow.
Yeah. So there's that, and so we're going to be talking about continuing on in the season of DreamWorks here on TuneCast Beyond. We're going to be talking about Kung Fu Panda, the franchise. We're going to talk about each individual film as well, but we're going to talk about it in a franchise discussion, kind of like what we did a couple weeks ago with the Madagascar films. I watched these back, and so far, I'm not a fan. To set the stage for Kung Fu Panda 1... 2008 American computer animated action comedy film produced by DreamWorks Animation and distributed by Paramount Pictures. It was directed by John Wayne Stevenson and Mark Osborne, produced by Melissa Cobb, and stars the voices of Jack Black along with Dustin Hoffman, Jackie Chan, Angelina Jolie, Ian McShane, Seth Rogen. Oh, God. No wonder I didn't like this movie. Lucy Liu, David Cross, Randall Duck Kim, James Hong, and many others. The idea for the film was conceived by Michael LaChance, a DreamWorks animation executive. The film was originally intended to be a parody, but director Stevenson decided instead to shoot it as an action comedy. Oh, boy. It premiered in the United States on June 6, 2008, and has since received very favorable reviews from critics and most of the movie-going public. There's something wrong with the critics and most of the movie-going public. Apparently, including the Chinese audiences like this, who were impressed with the film's faithfulness to their culture. The film currently garners a 88% certified fresh approval rating from review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes, Kung Fu Panda opened in 4,114 theaters, grossing $20.3 million on its opening day. The total will be told later. All right, so Kung Fu Panda, what were your... well, did you see this in theaters? Are you someone who goes to theaters for animation?
Yeah, I went to... I go to the movies all the time, but this one, when I first saw the trailer, I was intrigued, you know, because I'm not a huge, huge fan of DreamWorks, but a lot of the stuff they're done, you know, it's a bit of all right, you know, and not... That's not just the Shrek films, you know, even the Madagascar stuff like that. It's okay. You know, I've enjoyed it. And I'm somewhat like you going into this first movie. I was like, it's Jack Black and he's going to be doing his wacky, you know, Jack Black thing. And, you know, and I know he spoke off air. It's Shaol Hal in 3D. And I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't expecting to like this film going into it, but I was very surprised how much I ended up loving the film afterwards. Hmm. You know, and more so, and it's honestly, I was surprised. Like, a lot of things, the voice cast was awesome. Jack Black, you know, the script played to his whole, you know, hyper activity, but, you know, they melded that pretty well with the whole hero's journey story. You know, you've seen it in a dozen movies before, but it worked, and it was made for the kids, but there's enough incorporated into the movie, although, like, the script and the animation and everything, that there's a lot for adults, too, especially, you know, someone like myself who's watched a lot of, you know, kung fu movies and, you know, martial arts stuff like that, so I thought it was a really good film. You know, it's not perfect, but it was a really good film.
Initially, I ignored it, outside of maybe, you know, a very small role he had in, what's that Bruce Willis movie? The Jackal. Yeah. And outside of a small techie role in Enemy of the State, I've really not been a fan of Jack Black. I think, and it's sad of me to say this, I know, I think the only movie I kind of liked him in was, what's that one with him in, Kate Winslet. Oh God. Where Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz switch houses. Oh God. The hell's the name of that damn movie?
I don't watch chick flicks, Mike, so I couldn't tell you.
But anyway, I'm not really a fan of his, just like I'm not a fan of Steve Carell, even though I do enjoy Despicable Me. Just like I'm not a fan of Will Ferrell, even though I did like Megamind, which will be coming up in the podcast in a few episodes. So initially I was like, I'll see it when I see it. I don't care. DreamWorks, since the Shrek films are over, so far nothing to this point of what we're reviewing here in the podcast, episode 44, outside of the Shrek films, nothing has really, like, grabbed me and said, oh my God, this is amazing. I have to watch this multiple times.
Yeah.
It just hasn't. So getting into the voice cast for the first film, as you said, you got Jack Black as Po, the panda. You also have Dustin Hoffman, Angelina Jolie, Ian McShane, Jackie Chan as the monkey. Oh God, I remember that. Seth Rogen as the mantis, Lucy Liu as the viper, David Cross as the crane. Randall Duck Kim is the Oogway.
Master Oogway.
Yeah, Master Oogway. James Hong as Mr. Ping. And a bunch of other people. Oh my God, rest in peace. But Commander Vike here is Michael Clark Duncan.
I know. That's
completely forgot about that, yeah.
Well, he did a little bit of voice work before his untimely passing, you know, so. Yeah. We miss you, man.
I just don't. I think that's another thing that took me out of the voice cast is that man is a gang boss. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Overall, the voice cast is good for what the film is. I like it. It's all right. It's the film that I have the issue with, not necessarily who's voicing the characters.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's again, you know, Michael Clark Duncan. You'd pretty much he's playing, you know, a prison guard rhino, which was kind of fun. The one voice, like I always recognize his voice, was James Hong as Mr. Ping, who I always, as soon as I hear his voice, the first movie I think of in my head is Big Trouble in Little China, where he played the villainous Lo Pan. And, yeah. You know, you got guys like, you know, David Cross, Lucy Liu, they did it all right. I love the fact, you know, the animals that some of the voice actors got were kind of, I guess, kind of played towards, you know, their personalities or their voices. Like, you know, Jackie Chan is the monkey and he's doing all like the super quick, you know, in and out and everything. And, you know, Lucy Liu's kind of slinky and whatnot, so she does Viper. I mean, the only, and I'm not saying it's miscast or anything. Like, I'm a fan of Seth Rogen. I don't think he's like the greatest thing ever, but I enjoy a lot of his stuff. I enjoyed his Mantis. You know, it's more so the ones that I was really pleasantly surprised by was, like I said earlier, you know, I love Jack Black as Poe because his kind of wacky self, you know, kind of worked with this, you know, mountain of blubber who's like becomes this awesome kung fu fighter. And but the two I loved the most in the voice cast was, you know, Dustin Hoffman as Master Shifu, which if you look it up, Shifu is actually like, I think it's Cantonese or Mandarin for teacher or mentor, which was a cool play on words. And it's friggin' Al Swearingen from Deadwood is Tai Lung, Ian McShane, you know. And I love the way he played him as this, like, he's really kind of vicious, but he's got a sense of humor and he's kind of sarcastic. Like that whole scene, you know, when we get into the plot where he's fighting the Furious Five on the rope bridge and he's kind of lying there and like talking smack, you know. So, I mean, you look down further on the voice list. You got Jack Black's partner from Tenacious D, Kyle Gass, has got a bit part in here, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, overall, it's a pretty solid cast, I think.
Yeah, it is a solid cast, as I said. You know, it's that's not my issue. My issue is just the overall, you know, animal hero plot story. I mean, how many times have we seen this before? And, you know, I understand it's Hollywood. Things get recycled more than actual recycling gets done in the world, you know. But it's just one of those things where this movie just didn't appeal to me all that well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not for everybody. But like I said, it's for kids and adults. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a great popcorn time waster kind of movie. Like, I'm a fan and I'll go, if it's on TV, I'll probably stop and watch it. You know, I've got the DVD, maybe once or twice a year, I'll probably pop it in and watch it because I really do love this movie. You know, like I said, going in, I wasn't very hopeful, but coming out, I was like, damn.
So, yeah. You want to just break down the plot of the first film really quickly for those that don't know or haven't seen it or have been living under a rock for the last 4 years?
Yeah, so there's not even a spoiler warning at this point, folks, because if you
haven't
seen it by now, tough cookies.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, yeah, the plot of the first movie centers around this big, bumbling panda named Po, who's a kung fu nerd, basically. He idolizes the Furious Five, which is Tigress, Monkey, Mantis, Viper, and Crane. He dreams his whole life of being a kung fu master. And through a whole lot of wacky hijinks, he becomes a kung fu master himself in the form. He's the prophesied dragon warrior who's going to save the Valley of Peace from the evil leopard Tai Lung, who's, you know, the requisite exiled villain coming back for revenge. And he gets like the school of hard knocks kung fu training from Master Sifu, who basically thinks Po's a big pile of poo and not in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get more into the thing, but that's the basic thing is Poe bumbles his way into this kung fu academy and ends up having to save the world more or less from this evil villain who's looking for this scroll who's going to give him like ultimate power, so he believes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the script, not necessarily the script, but the way it's played out, yeah, we've seen it 100 times before. But there's something, you know, it's kind of a timeless kind of story, the whole hero's journey sort of thing.
Yeah. I think the difference in the plot for me, as far as what I'm going to be comparing it to here in a minute, the difference for the plot is Paul wants to actually get into the school. He's not already there and just being the dumbass. You know, he wants to train with these people. And the comparison I will make, and I was going to make when you were doing the plot, is that I know exactly where I've seen this plot before.
Where's that?
May he rest in peace, but Chris Farley is the Beverly Hills Ninja.
Damn, I have not made that connection before.
It's okay, just when you were reading the plot, outside of the fact that Poe wants to join the school and is not already in the school, this is Beverly Hills Ninja. You send, you know, because part of Beverly Hills Ninja was he was already in the school, but he was a dumbass, he was a screw-up, he couldn't get his training right, and plus, no offense, and we're all, well, at least between JT and I, we're all fat here. You know, Chris Farley was a larger man, and he, a lot of his characters obviously had to portray that, and that was part of the thing of his training of, you know, he finds his journey throughout Beverly Hills Ninja. Same thing with Poe here in this, where he's finding his way to become a master of Kung Fu whatever.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the big bumbling boob.
Yeah. And that's, you know...
And not to, like you said, you know, knock on wood, not to disparage, you know, Mr. Farley's comedy.
Right.
And certainly, like, I'm a kind of a fan of Jack Black, so I'm not knocking him either. If Farley had not passed, he would have been voicing Poe. I would lay money down on this.
Yeah.
I mean, and then a lot of people probably wouldn't have given maybe initially wouldn't have given the film a lot of, like, oh, it's an animated Beverly Hills Ninja. You know what? I say what you will about the movie. I love Beverly Hills Ninja. I mean, I wasn't really all that fat as a kid, but I mean, growing up and all that.
Right, yeah.
Any time it's a big bumbling boob who becomes the hero like that and gets the girl at the end of the move, you know, after a fashion, that's my boy, you know. Plus, who doesn't want to live in a van down by the river? But yeah, no, I mean, the plot... I mean, the first part of the film where, you know, it's you meet Poe, his dad is a goose, and he basically lives in, like, a tofu and noodle shop, you know, and he's such a nerd, and he's got the posters all over the wall, he's got these little carved wood action figures, you know, when you first meet Poe, he's rolled out of bed, and he's, like, trying to throw the ninja stars into this target, and it all it like bounces off the target and falls to the floor. He tries like two or three, like he's got no skills. And then he, you know, it's this, you know, they're going to pick the dragon warrior today. So part of the comedy is, you know, this very slapstick way he tries to, you know, look through a porthole or tries to flip over the wall or, and he finally ends up, you know, lighting a wagon full of fireworks on fire that launches him in like this arc, like way up into the stratosphere, and he crashes down, and Master Oogway the Turtle is like, you're him. And everyone at the same time has got this WTF mofo look on their face.
And the thing is, it's like, this character, specifically to Kung Fu Panda, not necessarily Beverly Hills Ninja, but this character is that character of, where are we going to find someone dumb enough to do our dirty work? That's really what I felt watching this was, yes, I know throughout the film he... You know, he progresses, he learns, he eventually masters the technique. But at first, it's like, it's kind of like that scene in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Jay and Silent Bob movie? Who would pay money to see that? And then they look at the game, you know. It feels to me like one of those gags at first, because it's like, it just feels like a joke. And then as the movie progresses, you see that he does have, you know... Well, first of all, he does have a heart, and he does want to do the right thing, and that's all well and good. I don't know. I just got lost in the unoriginality of the plot, I think.
Well, yeah, no, it's like I said, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We've seen this before. But you know, it's still, you know, I enjoyed, like, one of my favorite scenes is, as you know, Tiger's Head thinks Poe's an idiot, you know, and he kind of makes friends of everyone else. Like, one of my favorite scenes is where, you know, Mantis and Viper are helping Poe out with some acupuncture after this day of training. And I love Mantis is like, oh, no, I tweaked his facial nerve, because he makes like this look at Tigress, and she's ready to womp some ass. Yeah. It's like, no, he's like, he just hits the wrong nerve and his face just goes like that. And, you know, later on we're like, you know, Sifu has sent, you know, Tai Lung escapes from this prison. I thought that was kind of a badass way he escaped, where, you know, he's basically got like this turtle shell shackle, you know, stalk on him that this feather has floated off this other goose, and his tail picks it. He picks the lock, and you see him bouncing off like the crumbling cliffs and using these arrows that are stuck in the wall from the guards. You know, Tai Lung's on his way for revenge. So the Furious Five go to meet him. And like I said earlier, they have this awesome fight scene. I think even you would have to admit that fight scene in the bridge was pretty cool.
No, the fight scenes and all the, yeah, the fight scenes, the animation, the voice acting, all of that I absolutely love about the film. It's, yeah. But if a plot doesn't, if a story doesn't reach me, or if a story doesn't pull me in, I can't on a whole like a film just for, you know, three or four parts. You know, I have to like it on a whole for the entire thing. And the plot is my biggest problem with the film. Yes, I totally agree. The bridge scene was absolutely freaking amazing. You know, the animation's amazing, the voice acting is amazing, but it doesn't, sadly, it doesn't help. The plot sucks.
Yeah. No. Again, just, you know, the move. I agree. It's, you know, you're not a fan, obviously. Like, you're not as big a fan as I am. And I mean, as the plot moves on, my second favorite scene is the one where Shifu figures out that Po does have skills, but he's motivated by his hunger. And that scene where, you know, he sees Po, basically, Po's been punching through solid wood doors in order to get the food, because he's like one of those stress eaters, mm-hmm. you know, which I can certainly relate to, because there's a lot of days where, you know, I'm pissed off from work and I shouldn't be eating a foot long sub at 4 a.m, but damn it, I'm hungry. So, you know, he's punching through, he's got the skills, he can do this. And then Shifu, oh yeah, there's like this jar of pecan cookies up there, that's where Monkey keeps them. And he turns away for like 2 seconds and then he goes back in, and not only is Po all the way at like 7 feet off the floor, he's doing a perfect split and holding it. So, you know, thus begins this, you know, foo style that Po, you know, it just, Shifu knows that this is how Po works. So now he can help, he can figure out, you know, kind of incorporate that into teaching him Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Like the whole scene where there, he's like, have a dumpling. And it's like, they're having a Kung Fu fight with chopsticks. And then he turns it into like a 5-card Monty thing and just Poe gets it. That's
not the proper way to use chopsticks.
Oh, no, it's not. But I mean, yeah, but you see that, at least that's how they,
no,
they,
I mean, yeah,
show the hero's journey, that, you know, he has not necessarily deficiencies, but he's wired this way.
It's a different way of learning. Yeah. Whereas everybody else, like the tiger, whatever the hell else the other animals are.
Yeah.
You know, all of those are traditional fighting styles, and Po has to use a unique and different fighting style to get him to, you know, want to do it. And I understand that, and I get that. That's all well and good. That I absolutely love that about it, because it is slightly different, but at the same time, doesn't take away from the poor plot. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry to be pulling a Ben on you and ramming it down your throat as far as, you know, that I think the plot sucks, but this movie just didn't grab me at all.
Yeah. Although, you know, as you get towards the end where he finally confronts, you know, Tai Lung, and yeah. that I love the fact that, you know, he's taken out the Furious Five with these nerve strikes, but Po is just so fucking fat. Nerve strikes don't work. He's like, that tickles. And he's like, what the hell? So finally Po gets it in gear. He's kicking Tai Lung's ass. And I love, he's like, he grabs him and he, you know, pops up the pinky. He's like, the wuxi finger hold? No one knows the wuxi finger hold. Nah, I figured it out myself. He's like, but you're just a big fat panda. I love that line. He's like, no, I'm the big fat panda. You know, and then he does the finger hold and he saves the day. So, but yeah, it's, like I said, the movie, yeah, it's not for everybody. But I mean, I think it's it's got a solid plot, at least. I mean, we've seen it before, but it still works. It's one of those regurgitated, cliched sort of things that I don't mind seeing in a movie.
for the return.
What I? Shazamui!
Of awesomeness.
My fist hungers for justice. That was my fist.
Everybody was kung fu.
Jack Black.
Fighting.
Kung fu staring contest. Go!
You guys look amazing, by the way.
DreamWorks Kung Fu Panda 2.
All right, and now we move on to Kung Fu Panda 2. Oh, boy. Kung Fu Panda 2 is a 3D American computer animated action comedy drama film directed by Jennifer Yu Nelson, produced by DreamWorks Animation, came out in 2011. Distributed by Paramount Pictures, is a sequel to the 2008 film Kung Fu Panda, in which Po and his friends battle to stop a would-be conqueror, Lord Shen, with a powerful new weapon, with a giant panda discovering a disquieting link to the past in the process. Cast, the original film reprises their voice roles, while the new villain, Lord Shen, is voiced by Gary Oldman. The film was released May 26, 2011, in Real D, 3D, and Digital 3D. It was nominated for a 2011 Academy Award for Best Animated Feature at the 84th Academy Awards. Have you seen this one?
I actually have.
I have too, but I did not see it in theaters.
No, I rented it off. I got it off of Netflix when it came out on Netflix. So I wanted to see it in theaters, but unfortunately, around that time, you know, money wasn't exactly there. So.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Right.
Although, I mean, the one thing, I was intrigued to see this. A, you know, I love the first film. And it's not often that teaser trailers kind of hook me. And I don't mean just like, oh boy, I have to see it. But if a teaser trailer kind of catches my fancy, I'll watch the next trailer. It goes a long way towards me. Maybe I'll drop real money at the theater. And just the way... The teaser trailer starts is, you know, it's Poe, you know, flexing, like practicing a kata or something, whatever they call it in Kung Fu. I don't know the proper term. And he's like doing the oh ho ho from like the Kung Fu fighting song.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Kung Fu staring contest, which I'm not so sure that it's, I should be ashamed, but I actually did enter into a staring contest with the fictional character in a movie trailer, you know. And then, you know, he does that, just staring. He's like, you guys all look really good. And, you know, it's like Kung Fu Panda, you know, summer 2011. And I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And then, you know, like you said, you look at some of the voice cast.
They're all the same except for the new villain.
Yeah, well, even some of the the new voices, like you got three additional Kung Fu masters.
Yeah.
You know, there's Master Ox, who's voiced by Dennis Haber, who, you know, is the, you know, was it Allstate? Or...
Yeah, Allstate. He was also the president in 24. He is also Kilowog in Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, he's a Snake Doctor on The Unit, which was a great TV show.
Yeah.
You got guys like, you got, I'm going to say,
JCVD, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Van Damme's in here as Master Croc.
What the hell is Guile doing in here?
Hey. they got Master Rhino, who, a character that, you know, we'll get into the plot, a character who does not last that long. And I think tragically so, because he's voiced by Victor Garber. And this guy, you know, he did Sinestro in Green Lantern First Flight. I thought he's got a great talent for voice acting. The one that I was kind of surprised to see in here is Michelle Yeoh, who plays the goat soothsayer. And I was just, you know, it's because, you know, I know her from stuff like Super Cop and Tomorrow Never Dies?
Yeah.
Was the James Bond that she was in. You know, she's, and was the, that god-awful third Mummy movie that Jet Li did only for the money.
Yes, yes.
The dollar bill. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, the new voices were pretty cool. I mean, you know, like I said, they don't use Master Rhino that much, but that's because of the plot. And the scenes you do see Master Ox and Master Croc, and Dennis Haber does most of the voice acting. Like, unless you knew beforehand who was voicing Master Croc, you probably wouldn't even realize it's JCVD.
Yeah.
Although he does have the one line where they're in this jail and they're, you know, Master Ox and Croc aren't going to fight because they don't want to die, or they're kind of chickening out and they're going in the cell and Master Croc's like, I want top bunk, which I just kind of ended up snickering for a couple minutes because I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, no, it's overall this, you know, decent voice cast, a lot more voice actors in here than before, but no real names that I recognize outside of, you know, they got like Danny McBride from Eastbound and Down is in here. Voice is like one of the head villain henchmen. So,
yeah. Overall, again, for the second film, I do thoroughly enjoy the voice cast. You know, I think all the new additions are absolutely great. Why don't you break down the plot of the second film for us?
All right. So years before the events of even the first film, Lord Shen, who's voiced by Gary Oldman, who this guy can't do a bad villain, voice or not. Hears of this prophecy that, you know, he's harnessing fireworks to create weapons and rule over all, and he hears this prophecy that a warrior of black and white will defeat him. So he basically, and this is pretty dark for a kid's film, he commits genocide, or so we think, on the panda population of China, because apparently this isn't a world where they're all anthropomorphic animals. Not that, yes. I mean, that's just the way it is, whatever. So he kills all the pandas. His parents, who are like the rulers of this Gongmen city, which is kind of the capital, they kick his ass out and he threatens revenge. So already we're pretty much back to square one with the plot. And then fast forwards to the modern day, Po is still the dragon warrior. He's kicking ass alongside the Furious Five. Master Shifu has kind of advanced in his own training, you know, as a kung fu master, and they introduced the idea that Po, in order to, you know, he still has to find his own path and, you know, master his style of kung fu, and he needs to achieve inner peace for this. And while fighting off these bandit wolves who are stealing metal from the village near side the kung fu academy, he sees this symbol on one of the wolves, and it gives him this flashback that he starts thinking about his mom, and they end up getting a message that, you know, Lord Shen has returned. He's taken out Master Rhino. You know, he's taken over Gongmen City. So the Furious Five and the Dragon Warrior are off to kick ass and save the day. And along the way, Po kind of screws up a couple of times, not in the usual Po way. Like, he literally, you know, sees a symbol and he starts having a flashback and he just, you know, freezes. And you find out that, you know, Lord Shen killed his parents. And the way he came to live with Mr. Ping, like the goose, was his mom tossed him in a box full of turnips, and this got, you know, was shipped off to Mr. Ping, and he ended up getting adopted by him. So it gets this whole idea in the story of Po doesn't know where he comes from and who is he, and he has this basically an existential identity crisis. And the whole way this Lord Shen's found a way to defeat Kung Fu, and how do you defeat Kung Fu? With guns. He's created all these cannons. He's going to take over China and then the world. And he sees kind of a parallel to Po in that he knows where he comes from, but his family rejected him. So it's this weird kind of yin yang between the hero and villain. And along the way, you know, you meet Master Storming Ox and Croc, who basically are not necessarily chickening out. They just don't want to die and see Kung Fu totally dead.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, it gets a lot more involved in the plot, but the film basically ends as Lord Shen's going to send this armada out with all these cannons to take over China. And at one point, Po takes out the armada with Kung Fu with an empty hand technique where he catches cannonballs and throws them right back.
That was awesome. I do have to say, that was an awesome scene.
And I've never, like, I've always wanted to get into studying Kung Fu because I think of all the martial arts that I should take, that probably would have the most beneficial elements to me, and that, you know, you kind of get your mind straight before you break a board. And yeah, it's just the way.
Watch The Matrix again. You'll learn pretty fast.
Yeah. I'd probably get taken out by an agent. But yeah, just that scene at the end where all these ships and all the wolves are firing these cannons, he's catching, he's like ow ow ow, ow. But just the move, it's all smooth and flow and everything.
Yeah, it's such a fluid scene as far as the animation, as far as the effects, it's so amazing.
Yeah, and Sorry, you go.
Well, when you said earlier about how Shen plans to use guns to kill the, to destroy Kung Fu, why am I flashing to, you better take my guns, Daimyo. It's the only way you're going to get rid of these Kappa.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of
16th century Japan and Ninja Turtles.
Oh, he who dings the shell must pay.
Oh, God.
But anyway, but yeah, no, it's I love that scene. And it's beautifully animated, and it's just great. And then he gets into the final, you know, fist the cuffs with Lord Shen, and you know, Hubris takes out Lord Shen when like this 5-ton cannon, you know, crushes him to death, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, one of the things that got me about this movie, like at least personally, I'll mention in a minute, but how they end the film is he goes back home because the whole idea is when he goes off to Gongmen City initially, you know, his dad, Mr. Ping, basically thinks he's never going to see his son again. And right. then the whole idea, like, I need to find out who I am. And he comes home and he tells his dad, like, I know who I am. I'm your son. And, you know, he gives him that hug. And, like, honestly, when I saw this man, I teared up hardcore. Because, you know, I lost my own father a couple of years ago to a heart attack. So a lot of, you know, a lot of this father-son stuff gets me. But, I mean, it's stuff yeah. like that. It's just like, you know, it's kind of beautiful in a way. You know, it's also true. And but on the flip side of this whole father-son love thing.
Right, I'm going to throw a wrench into this because I just realized Poe and Mr. Ping are Luke and Obi-Wan, and at the same time, Poe's biological father.
I think
is shown to be living in a far-off hidden village inhabited by surviving pandas, and suddenly he senses his son is alive.
Yeah.
Poe, I am your father.
I don't think it would be quite. I think Mr. Ping and Poe, it's more like Uncle Owen and Luke than anything. But
well,
no, I get what you're getting at. You know, yeah. It's just, yeah. And see, that's the thing. The flip side, you had this great, tender moment, mm-hmm. you know, and they could have just ended it there. But no. I'm not against a third film. I just hate it when they have in movies where they have like such a great moment. And it's basically a lead into sequel bait because, you know, oh, my son's alive.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's great that, you know, Poe's not the last panda because, I mean, that's kind of what you're led to believe with this whole panda genocide.
Yeah.
A pandacide, if you will. But yeah, it's just, I love the way they ended the movie. I also hate the way they ended the movie, just that they use such a great moment almost, I know they didn't mean to do it, but it seems like it's used trivially or trip. It's not used to the fullest effect, or at least how I would have liked. So,
yeah. So yeah, that's the overall plot. I don't know. There are some film franchises out there where I enjoy a sequel more than I did the original film. And I really did enjoy this a lot more than the first film. Because there's an actual story here. There's an actual plot. There's actual, you know, heritage and all that stuff. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it a lot better than the first one.
Yeah.
Getting into the, you know, reception and information and all that stuff. The first film had a worldwide total of just north of $631 million. Kung Fu Panda at the time was the highest grossing non-Shrek film from DreamWorks Animation in the United States and Canada before being surpassed by How to Train Your Dragon in 2010. It was also well received, as I said before, in China and made nearly 110 million Chinese yen by July 2nd, 2008, becoming the first animated film to make more than 100 million yen in Chinese box offices. So that's good. The first film has been nominated and has won several. It's won 3 Annie Awards. It's been nominated for a bunch of others. Oh my God, it's won more Annie Awards than 3. Holy crap, all that was Annie Awards. Wow. It's nominated for a bunch of other stuff as well. Overall, the first film, like I said, the plot for me just needed to be better. As far as the second one, let's see, where's the 9th highest grossing animated film ever released and the 53rd highest grossing film of all time. the sixth highest grossing film of 2011 on its first weekend and earned 108.9 million worldwide, ranking third behind Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides and the Hangover Part 2. So they both did well. I see why DreamWorks is going to be doing sequels of them.
Yeah. I mean, both films basically made like five times their budget back in their seats. So they'd kind of be stupid not to milk the cow a little bit more.
Yeah. I could see maybe one more film, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So we are the IGN crew. For those that don't know or listening to the podcast, the way we rank the movies and the shows here on Tooncast Beyond is 1, don't watch this even if it's free. 2, worth a watch if it's free on TV. 3, worth adding to the Netflix list if it's on Netflix. I don't think these are. And 4, this is a must add to your DVD collection. I will give Kung Fu Panda 1 a 3. You know, it's worth getting on, like, iTunes or something like that, or, you know, just renting it online somewhere. What about you for the first film? What do you rank it?
I give it a 4. Like I said, it's a plot. You know, we've seen it a dozen times, but I think what makes up the movie, you know, the plot, the animation, the voice acting, I think it's definitely worth being a part of your collection because it's a great movie overall, and like I said, it's great for young and old, so it's definitely something I think you should have on hand.
Yeah. As far as the second one, I'm going to give it a 4. I enjoyed it much more than the first film. Again, between both films, the animation is solid, the animation is great, the effects, the fights, they're all great, the voice acting is great. What about you?
Oh, a solid 4 as well. Like I said, it's one of the few, it's, you know, kind of like... When I judge sequels, I use Ghostbusters 2 as a barometer. No, I love Ghostbusters 2, but
for a second there, I was going to have to jump through this internet.
No. Just okay. let me finish. All right. I love Ghostbusters 2, but I don't think it. Me personally, I don't think it really did anything more than the first movie did. Like, it's a good sequel. It's just I think sequels should try and do a little bit more, and I don't think they really accomplished that with Ghostbusters 2. Whereas Kung Fu Panda 2, you know, you've already got the characters established, you know what they're about, and they come on with this great story about identity and where you come from and what kind of what really matters. You know, does it really matter where you came from and how you got your start versus where you are now? So I think in the terms of the story, I think it's, you know, it's a better sequel because of that. But again, like we said, the cannonball fight at the end there, that was absolutely beautiful animation. It was fluid. It was well choreographed, you know, as much as you can with animation. So, yeah, no, I give it a straight up 4.
Yeah. Getting into the DVD information, all this stuff. Both films are on DVD and Blu-ray. You can find them both on iTunes to either buy and rent. So that's that. As far as the... Now, I've heard rumors. I saw a news story back when I was still doing Nerd News Network on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I saw a news story at one time where they said there was going to be 10 Kung Fu Panda movies in total. Since then, the information that I have now is that there is a third film titled Kung Fu Panda 3. It's announced a co-production between DreamWorks Animation and Shanghai-based Oriental DreamWorks. Kung Fu Panda 3 is expected to be released in 2016. I don't have a problem with a third film if they're just going to make it a trilogy. As long as they pick up where they left off at the end of the second one and they give a finality to it in the third film, like either some sort of happy ending or something.
Yeah. But
I don't want to see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't want to see thousands of Kung Fu Panda films over the next
20 years.
You know, 50, you know, 20 years, 50 years, whatever. I just don't. The show does have a manga, or not. The movies do have, did have a few manga releases. I don't do comics. If you want to talk about it, I don't know if you've seen these things. It's been released in Japan. Nice. Yay. So there is manga about it. There is a television series, Kung Fu Panda: Legends of Awesomeness, television series the same time I just said, is airing on Nickelodeon since it premiered on November 7, 2011. From the cast of Kung Fu Panda, only Lucy Liu and James Hung are reprising their roles of Master Viper and Mr. Ping. In the series, Po continues to defend the Valley of Peace from all kinds of villains while making mistakes, learning about the history of Kung Fu, and meeting other Kung Fu masters. We will be covering Kung Fu Panda Legends of Awesomeness in a later season when we get to the Nickelodeon season of Tooncast Beyond. I've seen advertisements for it, but I've yet to actually see the television series, so... yeah, that's neither here nor there. Have you had a chance to even see it at all?
I've seen a couple episodes. And
okay, is it any good?
It's decent. You know, like the guy they got, it's kind of like the guy they got voicing Tony Stark in Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. The guy they got voicing Poe is doing his best Jack Black as Poe.
Okay.
You know, so yeah. It's kind of a sound alike, but it was decent. And yeah, the only one they got in there is like, you know, James Hong and Lucy Liu voicing their characters, but haven't really seen enough to really comment on it.
Right. Yeah. There was a video game and there are plenty of online games that you can check out as well. Yeah. So were you gonna say something?
I was going to say the game for the first movie, it was okay. It's a hell of a lot better than the Iron Man movie games, I shall say.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and all that good stuff.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey! Welcome to a collaboration between the Geekcast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast. I am your host, TFG and Mike from the GCRN, and joining me is Zordon himself. Scotty Cash.
That's right, Scotty Cash from the Pop Culture Network, and today we're introducing you to the audio version of From the Command Center, the podcast that will tell our intake on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the episodes, the seasons, and all that other good stuff.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word. to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code GeekCastRadio when you register.
For you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. Go to audibletrial.com/GeekCastRadio. Final thoughts on the franchise of Kung Fu Panda so far, sir?
I'm loving the movies. I'm going to check out the TV show. And if you don't already own either of them on DVD, I would highly recommend picking them up. They're totally worth the money.
Awesome. I've seen the first film. I've rented it. The same thing with the second film. I had seen both of them before, and I rented them again just to, you know, be prepared for this. And I just, the first film just does not grab me whatsoever. The second film, I absolutely love it. Second film's so much better, I think, because it actually tells a real story versus, hey, I'm Shallow Hal, everybody.
yeah, no, I can get that. I mean, and it's weird when you think about Jack Black doing voiceover. If you look at kind of the dichotomy between him doing Poe and then voicing the character Eddie Riggs in the Brutal Legend video game. Like, yeah, he has a very limited range, but he makes the most of what he does. So,
yeah. All right. You got anything you want to pimp out or anything you got going on that you want to talk about?
Not right now.
Okay, then. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can leave comments on each and every episode post and blogs and all that other good stuff. Shoot us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The short name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter name?
@GT from Saskatoon.
You can also follow @GeekCastRadio for all the network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond. I wish you'll join us next time when we will be jumping in the DeLorean and heading back to 1985 to talk about that Canadian animal show, The Raccoons.
Yay!
Okay. At least somebody's excited for that crap.
Hey, I love that show, man.
For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.